Okay, sir, now let me get you to state your name and ADC number for the record, sir.
Yes, sir. My name's Kevin Blatterby, and my DOC number is 82707.
Mr. Blatterby, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we're here for your parole hearing. You've been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412B411. That means that to be considered to be moved to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, which means that at any rate, regardless of what the board does today, you will not be walking today, but maybe you can get moved to your next consecutive sentence. We'll see what the board says this afternoon, sir. As you can see, sir, there are four board members participating in the hearing this afternoon, and they are the Honorable Ms. Leah Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair and board chair this afternoon, sir. Now, I'm going to just state a little information that we have, and then you can tell me if any of it is incorrect or if any of it needs to be adjusted. According to information that I see, you're currently serving one term, and that is for murder in the first degree, and at its beginning, you initially went into the Department of Corrections on April 27, 1988. You became parole eligible on December 18, 2014, and of course, this is a 25 to life sentence. Is that your understanding, sir?
No, it's not.
What's your understanding, sir?
I was sentenced to two consecutive life sentences.
That's what we're going to say. They're consecutive, not concurrent. Therefore, if we then we will move you to the next one. The next one is a life sentence. If this board saw fit to move you to your next sentence, then we will go for another life sentence. You understand, sir?
I misunderstood that, I guess.
No, sir, I just want to make sure we're together. So you're currently serving the one that I announced, and then if the board saw fit, then you would move to another life sentence, and then you would start over on that particular sentence. That's the information that we have. We also show that you completed three armed robberies already, and they have expired, and they were for 10.6 years, each one of them. Is that also your understanding, sir?
It's not. It's the way that I'm sentenced, and it's the crimes that I'm charged for. It's two felony homicides, which is a felony murder, another felony murder, and there's a severed armed robbery.
Yes, sir. That's what we're saying. But you had more than one armed robbery, though, didn't you?
Yeah, the way it is, armed robbery is in process, and I'm found guilty of felony murder because of the armed robbery. Another one is an armed robbery. They proved the murder. The armed robbery is in process, and the murder happened. It's felony murder. There's two incidences. There's a separate armed robbery.
Okay, sir. Let me tell you what the record will show, sir, and I'm going to read this one. The Department of Correction that you have to serve two life sentences for two counts of first-degree murder. That those are the two counts. One you own now, and then if the bullets are fit, then you will go to another one for a first-degree murder, as well as 10.5 years sentence for three counts of armed robbery, and the armed robbery is already expired. Therefore, we don't even have to talk about them. I just wanted to put them on the record because you've already served them. They're history now. Okay, so read together, Mr. Blatterby.
It's just worded wrong. The armed robbery that I'm serving 10.5 for is a severed armed robbery. The other two armed robberies, they are a felony murder. They are an armed robbery murder, armed robbery murder.
Okay,
so
sir.
Homicide. So the one that's expired is a severed armed robbery.
Okay, sir. Well, you can check with for Ames just to make sure that the information is correct. One thing that we have is information that's been presented to the board, and that's what we look at when it's been presented to the board, and
sure.
We do not deal with the time clock. That's something that if the information is wrong, and if it is wrong, then you need to check with your CO3 to make sure that time clock has the correct information for you, sir, because this board does not come up with that information. That information is presented to the board by the Department of Corrections, and so that's the information that we have, sir. But basically, only thing that sure that we, you and I can be on the same page now. What we're talking about today is that you are currently serving one sentence for first-degree murder at this moment. And if this bill saw fit, then we would move to a second count of first-degree murder. That's what we're talking about today, sir. Okay, sir?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sir. Yes, sir. Okay, so we're going to move on at this time. We have your progress report, sir, that you presented to the board, and we take note that you had a number of programs over the years, and I don't see one recently. Have you had any program or counseling recently, sir?
Yeah, they should be entered into Ames.
When was the last one you had, sir?
I can tell you the date of it, which I don't know what day they put him in.
This year, last year, who was the last one, sir?
It's the 16th of February. They should have been entered in by Seals Reed Pomerantz.
Okay, that's...
self-control and better parenting. They're voluntary programs. They should be in Ames entry.
Okay, sir. So those are the ones that you volunteered for. Okay, sir. Okay, you better make sure that you check with Ames to make sure, check with the CO3 to make sure that they are a part of your Ames record. Okay. Now, we also show that you did not show any release plan because you state that since you have two life sentences that you thought about your release plan. You have not thought about your release plan yet. However, you said that if you were to be paroled on both, you would quickly get a release plan, but you're not being considered to be released on both of those. You're being considered only for one murder at this particular point in time, sir. We also show that you have had some disciplines. Do you remember the last time you had a discipline, the last time you had a ticket, sir?
Oh, it's been... I'm going to say 4 years.
Okay.
5 years, maybe.
Okay. Well, the last one that we showed would have been in 2015, but it was resolved. And then you had one in 2014, which was dismissed. And the last one that you had that was not dismissed would have been in 2013. And there you were possession of drugs. So were you using any drugs at that time while you were incarcerated? This would be back in 2013, sir. Were you using drugs? Or what was going on there, sir?
Yeah, I stayed straight out for 35 years. Yeah.
Okay. But did you use any drugs, sir?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of drugs were you using, sir?
I was using whatever I could get, whatever they had.
Whatever they had, okay, sir. But you don't remember what it was. It was just whatever somebody would give to you, that's what you use. Okay, sir. Okay, I'm going to move on, sir. The last time you appeared before this board would have been on March the 28th, 2017. And at that time, the board denied you for 412B or 411. At that time, two of the board members who are present today participated in your hearing, and that is the Honorable Mr. Kawanis and myself. Mrs. Woodhouse and Mr. Neal did not because they were not on the board at that time. This is the first time that they are seeing you today. But based on information that we show, and again, please tell me what's right and what may not be correct, the incident offense that you were charged with was on March 2nd, 1988. And at that time, someone, you were out there at the restaurant and you came out in the streets and you asked the cab driver to take you to a friend's residence and house. And then you, once you got into a community, you stopped and you ended up shooting and murdering the cab driver with your .22 caliber revolver. And because you did not have any money at that time to pay the cab driver, and whereas once you had murdered him, you took his wallet, which contained $500, and according to information we have, you stopped along the way, you washed the blood off of your shoes and your hands, and then you went to your residence, your apartment, and you went friend left there and went to a restaurant, and y'all had breakfast, and you said that, quote, that y'all had a good breakfast, end of quote. And then we used the money, part of that $500, to buy a vehicle, and then later, back on March the 19th, you robbed and killed a second victim, Ross Young, that he was a hitchhiker, and you picked him up, and he wanted to sell you a rifle, and so you went to his residence, told you to get the rifle. You stayed in the vehicle, he went in, you brought the rifle out, and as he was coming out, you ended up shooting him. So that's how we ended up with two. Am I correct, sir? One was a cab driver, the other one was a hitchhiker, someone that you had picked up. Am I correct, sir?
Yeah, without the specifics that are or not true, the major part of it seems what I got charged with.
Okay, so what were the specifics then that you think that would make it clear, sir?
I think the guy that was actually involved with me with most of the stuff in my life and crime and drugs and everything said that we had some happy note or something like that, and that was completely fraudulent.
Were you guilty of the two murders, sir, or did someone else commit one or more of the murders, sir?
No. Which I want to say the parts of those crimes that we ended up shooting taking two people's lives, and I was completely out of control. Me and those things are absolutely sure. The things that were traumatized were my co-defendants trying to get out of what he was guilty of, which I don't blame him at all. Looking back at it, we're both young kids.
Were you using any drugs at that time when these incidents took place, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, what you think? Do you remember what kind of drugs you were on at that time, sir?
Oh, yeah. I remember them all. I was misunderstanding that earlier. I went after meth if it was up to me. But I've been strung out on everything. That's just the way it is. It's true.
Okay. Now, as I said that earlier, that the board is considering, going to move you to the next consecutive sentence. Tell me some things that you've done recently. Why do you think the board should consider moving you to your next consecutive sentence, sir? So what have you done recently? Have you done anything that you could suggest to the board why the board ought to move you forward, sir?
I'm kind of confused about these hearings and seeing the second thing. This is the fourth year I've been up here, and I'm just going to another life sentence, and I don't mean to say that it's just another life sentence. I got two crimes, and I'm not trying to demean either one of them. I don't know anybody's helping me out or trying to help me with this packet or what I'm supposed to be doing, but I do offer this. I've been in a college guild for months right now, writing creative language. I'm a programs aide. I've been there since 8/24, 2015. The main thing I'm focusing on is a pairing and partnership program from Texas Christian University. They supply the material and we go through it as an interactive group. Although it's voluntary, I go through this 8-week cycle over and over and over. I've been there for 3 years, and it's been an enlightening experience to me, to say the least, watching all the guys from their angles and me being a damaged kid with parents have done some real horrible things. It's opened my eyes. My most incredible thing is I changed from within, and they need to get this parole board. I don't say that in a bad way. I don't mean it as an insult. I say that I'm changing the person because I've changed. I'm not changing to try to get parole. And I'm not sure what I'm going to. I'm going to another life sentence, or going to court. I'm a little bit confused, but I'm focused. I'm just being honest. I'm being honest because I'm not trying to teach you some kind of line or make something up. I'm not really looking forward to doing 25 years in prison. That's not gonna, come out of my mouth. I'm looking forward to something good that can happen, and I'm following that. And I believe good things come to good people.
Okay, sir. Now, you indicated that you had had some bad things happen to you when you were young, so what were some of those things that happened before you got in, before you committed these murders, sir? What was going on in your life?
I just wrote a biography, and a book. I'm writing down these things, and I'm challenging myself. The first things I remember, my dad being a violent alcoholic, beating my mother. I go to the first school. I get suspended. I pulled some weapons on two principals. I get suspended. I was never in school. I was never monitored. My parents got divorced. I was never watched either place. My parent goes to work. I'm alone. I'm criminal. I've got drugs. Everybody I'm hanging around with since OD'ing at 7 years old and being on my stomach problems and being on life support. I don't remember a stable environment that I was in. Am I blaming every bit of that on everybody else? I can't really do that. All I can say is that I had an extraordinary violent and I think pretty unfair chance, and a lot of that evidence, a lot of that is fact that was not presented to the court in my juvenile remand hearing, which we're going right now. You guys are aware that juvenile lifer thing is up and the Justice Project filed notice and we all got lawyers and some people are going to get resentenced. I'm trying to focus on it. How do I get amends with my victims? How do I tell anybody that I'm sorry and go on to a different page in my life? How do I get to where I'm doing the right thing and I'm not going to do anything different next week, tomorrow, 10 years from now, and keep being a responsible person?
Okay, sir. Well, you did mention the Justice Project. I don't see them. They are not present today. Have you met with them recently?
They're not representing me. They filed a notice in my case under Miller, Alabama, and Montgomery versus somebody. Mm-hmm. They filed a notice to get me an attorney because they believe that a double life sentence is the equivalent of my entire life in prison. Even scientifically, according to a doctor, I'm not going to live past this age. I do have natural life, as opposed to what it looks like on paper. So the courts are, I believe, they're agreeing to that, and they're holding a bunch of hearings, and that's pending or in progress.
Okay, well, we wish you well on those. That does not have anything to do with us today, but we hope that it will work out for you, sir. But at this time, let me just see if other board members might have some questions for you at this time, sir. Board members, any questions at this time? I don't see any questions coming from board members at this time. At this time, sir, we are coming towards the end of your hearing. But this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and make its decision today whether to move you to your next consecutive sentence or whether not to. So what else do you want to tell the board without repeating yourself, sir?
I thought in the last 3 years of seeing this board that what I'm looking at on this paper, the hearing results, is either something that's misinformed to you guys. I'm appreciating you guys have a hard job. People's giving you information. It might not be what I'm saying or what's on the court record. I'm specifically referring to a violation of parole or probation that got added to this last one on March 28, 2017. That charge got dismissed 3 years ago in juvenile Durango before I even got remanded to adult court. I'm not singling it out because the rest of these seven things are, again, something 30 years ago that if it's leveled at me on paper today, I'm in a position of not being able to overcome or contend with going on with my life. I don't understand how that's any kind of fair process, especially with nobody helping me out with it, that I could ever sit in front of this board and say, I don't really have an idea how to speak for those things or to get around those things.
Okay, sir. I think I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure whether I do or not, but I think I understand what you're saying. But I think that what you're referring to is you're referring to what's on Ains, and this is going to follow you the rest of your life. Although some things have already expired, you have several ones that have already expired, and so but they're going to remain on your paperwork. Don't care what happens. not going to get erased. They're not going to be erased, but where you see those that expire, they're already history. You don't have to worry about them anymore. That's been done. The only tree that you have at this particular time is one that you're currently serving, and that is murder first degree. Then you have a future one, a second one, which is also murder first degree, and it shows that it is a future one. So those are the two that you're really concerned about at this particular moment, and I would suggest very strongly that you work with your CO3 to get him or her to assist you in preparing to come before the board, and if you continue with the Justice Project, maybe they will help you out. But I do understand what you're saying, but we look forward to, that's all that we can do. We just get the paperwork. The paperwork is presented to us. We don't create it, and we use the paperwork based on the information that we have. But is there anything else you want to tell the board before the board goes into discussion, sir?
I do, and I want to repeat what I just said. I don't think I could. I kind of got a little confused, maybe. What my point was, because I, just to be clear about it, the No Families Board, Next Board, you said to have my CO3. My CO3 has advised me that they did not train him in parole boards. He has no idea how any of this works, and if I ask him to speak in here, he couldn't substantiate any of these things. And the one thing that I would point out would be is, I got on here, No Family Community Support System, and again, I don't say this to offend you guys, I got thousands of friends. I got people that own businesses that want to hire me. I got people that run ministries that are directors of the Longside Ministry DCT Center, Dave, that would, if I wanted him to come, but nobody's asking me for him to come. Nobody, you see what I'm saying? So all these things, I'm not trying to take a cheap shot at them. There's none of them are true.
Okay, what I, so let me just say this, and then I'm going to move on, sir. You have made a very good point, but if you have, you said, I believe you said you have thousands of supporters. It's your responsibility to find out somehow to contact them so that they could come or send a letter or make a phone call on your behalf. Nobody else is going to do that for you because nobody else knows who they are. But if you tell them, they can come, they could be here today, and we would listen to them. They could sit up, they could be on telephone now. We could listen to them. Therefore, you're going to have to take that responsibility. Don't depend on nobody else. You're going to have to be in contact with whoever those you just named 3 or 4 months ago. That's your responsibility to do that. Secondly, no, the CO3s are not going to come and speak on your behalf, but they can help you put together your package, sir. That's it. That's all that they would do for you, but that would be based on information that you would give to them and information that's found in AIMS. But that's all we're going to say on that, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet. We're going to ask that you stay on the phone while the board is in discussion, and then the board is going to, as you might remember from the last time, the board is going to vote to make a determination whether to move you to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, or whether or not to move you forward to the deny at this time. Therefore, now the board is going into discussion. I found that Mr. Blackwell is a very interesting young man. I think he may be, and I'm going to use the word maybe, just a little confused on the process, but I hope that he would work with his CO3 and others so that he would understand the process. I think that, yes, he did commit 2 murders. He did have the robberies as well. The robberies have expired. Therefore, the armed robberies have expired. But he did commit the murder of the taxi driver. He did not have any resources. As he said, he was young at the time, but he didn't have any money to pay the taxi driver. Therefore, he robbed the taxi driver and shot him. And that was the end of that one. The second murder was that someone was hiking, and he picked him up, and he hit them, and ended up, at the end of the day, to make a long story short, he ended up shooting him as well. That's the reason that we have the 2 murders. I think that we just don't have enough information at this time, in my opinion, and I'm going to speak as one board member, not on behalf of the board. I think that where we are at this time, I don't believe that he's ready to be moved to his next sentence, but I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time. Okay. Hearing none, then I'm just going to offer a motion, we'll see where it goes. And my motion is going to, as it relates to Mr. Kevin Lockaby, DOC number 082707, to deny, move to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Hearing motion by myself, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse and the Honorable Mr. Kovanis. And let's see here, when did this crime take place? It took place in 1980s. Therefore, I'm going to recommend a one-year set-off. And the nature of this hearing today is 412B, 411, and reasons for the now are as follows. Serious and violent offense, loss of human lives in this case, because it's clear, because there were two lives. Serious and deviant behavior, trauma to the victims as much as they were shocked. At least age of victim of the one, the younger one, multi-victims, because there were two victims. Again, he may not understand it, but there is no family or community support that's present, or that we have a letter from or a phone call from at this time. He's had some programs recently, therefore I think that that would suffice, that he might want to continue to get some additional programs. I do feel, and Bill Lewis, if you disagree, please tell me, just based on talking with him today, I feel that he needs some closer supervision, because I think that he either does not understand or he pretends that he does not understand. I think he needs some closer supervision so that he would be prepared, so that he would, if he does not understand, he would understand, and if he understands, then he will just understand, and that might be helpful to him. Is there anything else that any board member wishes to include at this time? Hearing nothing else from board members at this time, sir, you heard what the board has decided. The board has denied to move you to your next consecutive sentence, an absolute discharge, I stated the reasons, and do I need to state the reasons again, sir?
Oh, no, sir, I heard.
Okay, sir, and we will be certified by the Department of Corrections in about a year from now to come back before this board again. And I would suggest very strongly once again that you work with your CO3 and others so that you can have others who might come and speak on your behalf, sir. This will end your hearing. Thank you so much for participating. And because others come, that does not necessarily mean that you're going to be moved to your next consecutive sentence, but at least we will know that there are some supporters for you out there. This will end your hearing. Thank you so very much, and please give us one back to your CO3, sir.
All right, guys, have a good day.
You too.